The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Good afternoon, live from Gillette down here in the bowels, although you can't really call them bowels anymore in this studio. This place is unbelievable in here. Tremendous job by Matt Morrell, who built it all himself, as he told everybody when we walked right in.
This place is
incredible where we are right now. I remember it was just a desk with a bunch of schmoes sitting around the desk. It's still a desk, but a much nicer desk. And someone actually vacuumed in here, which is nice to see.
Beautiful.
As well.
Feel like I'm on TV.
I sort of feel like
Sports
that, too.
Sports Center's next.
That's right. And if you're watching on Twitch, then we kind of are on TV.
Oh, yeah,
and this seems appropriate. This does, because this seems like a significant day. A very significant day maybe in Patriots history. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. But already you can say that this team has defied the odds. No one expected them to win that game yesterday. I certainly didn't. You certainly didn't. Andy Hart, the only person I know who for sure did, was Stiz. Stiz had him in the knockout pool. He's the only one I know that actually put his money where his mouth was.
That's right.
So props to you, Stiz. Bravo,
thank
sir.
You, thank you.
You live another day, which you can't say that for a lot of other people in this knockout pool, but you certainly do, and you did it because you picked the Patriots, and the Patriots believed in themselves. They were able to go out there, play a smart game, play a very tough defensive game. Offensively, they took what they could get and came away with a victory on the road to start the Gerard Mayo era here in New England.
No question. And I thought they not only displayed some of the things we thought, maybe hoped would be strengths, but also minimized some of the things us media idiots down at training camp were bitching about, right? Those things still happened. We still watched those practices. Mm-hmm. We still saw some struggles in various aspects of the team. And even big picture, my first takeaway would be, those of us that may have wondered about the way Gerard Mayo handled camp from start to finish, handled practices, the length of practices, all the one-hour lead-ups to practice that were like form running and conditioning and all this stuff, and it was like, when are you guys going to get to the football part of things? Well, guess what? Whatever he did worked, because he had a football team that I firmly believe the reason they won, we can get to plays and turnovers and run game and all this, tackling.
Yeah,
it sounds stupid. It's very Belichickian. Remember when people used to ask, what do you write on that little piece of paper with the... And sometimes he said tackling.
Right.
Like he would remind himself there. Tackling was atrocious for...
Tackling.
Yes. Was atrocious for Cincinnati and was a massive strength for the Patriots. And you don't often see that. I think atrocious tackling is more the norm in week one in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off of training camps and guys that didn't play in preseason games and all those things. Now, the Patriots starters played more in the preseason games. They did tackling drills at various points to the ground in practice. And I have to credit first and foremost Gerard Mayo for that. His team was the more physical tackling team in a sport that, as much as we describe it in other ways and as much as maybe it's going towards flag football, tackling still matters, and I believe that's why they won the game.
It was a huge aspect of it, I agree. I thought defensively they just were on a different level than the Bengals were. I thought the Bengals got pushed around, and tackling is one certainly that I think stood out. The other's conditioning, mm-hmm. and that's something that Gerard Mayo talked about. He talked about it leading into the game, a bunch of interviews with Hillman in his press conferences. He talked about conditioning and guys being out there, and if you're healthy, you got to be out there, and you got to be ready to go. The end of that game, that last drive, they were pushing them back and getting whatever they wanted with the run game. And you saw that also in the Detroit game, in the Detroit-LA game later that night. Another example of conditioning and overtime right there. The Lions were pushing the Rams around because they were in better condition. You could tell.
And what do those teams have in common?
What do they have in common?
Hard-O ex-player head coaches.
True. That's true. They do have that. Yeah.
We're not going to pussyfoot through things like the modern Brendan Staley when he was out in San Diego or L.A., both, that we don't play our players, and we don't hit, and we don't do this. You got a tight end and an inside linebacker leading teams who I think still believe this is a contact sport. This is a bit of a barbaric sport, that it still matters if you can hit the other person, not on the first play, but on play 55, 56, 57. And you're right. It mattered. The Patriots moved the ball, and I think there was a little sort of cock of the walk to Gerard Mayo about everybody in the stadium knew we had to run the ball.
Oh, yeah.
And we ran
the
ball.
How many times did you say that this morning?
Like he was feeling himself a little bit there. And, but he also balanced it out, I thought, with it's one game.
Yep.
If we go 1-16, I'm a failure. This team's a failure. What we did in August won't matter. But there's definitely an old school vibe to that. And we had talked about Mayo in this transition. Is he new school? Is he too player friendly. I think there is still an aspect of, dude was an all-pro middle linebacker who hit people for a living and still believes football is about hitting people for a living.
Yeah, you could tell that there was certainly, as far as the relationship between him and the players go, that's real.
The Gatorade bath.
That's a real thing. That Gatorade bath, I think, was a statement to him and maybe to the old regime a little bit, too, about, you know, this is where we are right now, and this is how we're celebrating win number one. Like that, I don't think you can fake that, you know? I remember, who was the guy that coached the Lions? Who they made the players carry him off after they beat his old team, after they beat Buffalo, Jim Schwartz, I think. Do you remember that?
Okay, yeah.
When they had him, he's like, you guys carry me off like we just beat my old team. Or it was the other way around, maybe. Like that, and you could tell it was fake. Like, that wasn't fake last night. You could tell that, or yesterday. That was a real thing. Those players do. I mean, I sort of mocked it, you know. Oh, yeah, we love Jerod Mayo. Run through a wall for Jerod Mayo. Well, yeah, you guys all just got big contract extensions. I'm sure you're all feeling great. That looked real last night. I don't think you could fake that.
Yeah, I think they enjoyed everything that went into yesterday, honestly. As much as Devon Godshaw's questioning the spread and being a big underdog, I think they enjoyed that nobody, you know, us against the world.
Right.
Nobody thinks we can do it. We're going into the jungle of Cincinnati against Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and blah, 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 blah,
that
blah.
That plays in New England, I'll tell you.
It does.
You know, that plays here.
And some of these
guys.
It's
been a while, but that does play here.
Right, and some of these guys have lived that in various forms. And I think some guys, it comes naturally.
Yep.
It came naturally to the Rodney Harrisons and the Willie McGinnis and the Teddy Bruschis of the past generation. I don't think it's hard to get Jabril Peppers frothing at the mouth. I think that plays into his mentality when you tell him, you guys aren't good enough. You guys actually aren't very good at all. You kind of stink. You're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow, they don't even have to practice. They haven't been on the same field together. They're still going to smoke you.
I don't remember saying that. I think
that but they
sound
hear
like
that.
Me.
That's what they hear more, whether you
said
it or
worse
not.
Worse than that.
Yeah, we all did.
We all did. I mean,
we
come on.
Nobody expect. There's
we all
a
have
reason.
Egg on our face today. 100%.
I saw the numbers various places. It was like 30-something percent, 40% of knockout pools. People were out because they had taken the Bengals.
Yep.
It was the biggest spread of the week. It was. I saw some other number. It was one of the biggest week one upsets spread-wise in like a decade.
Really?
Yes.
Like, not surprised.
And they earned it.
Yeah.
You know, do I think the Bengals were a willing victim? Absolutely. The Bengals contributed greatly to their own demise. But I'm going to go back to, and I said this to Fitzy on the postgame show after the Red Sox were done, after we waited and waited and waited, and then finally got to talk about the biggest Patriots win in who knows how long.
Well, you got to get over the loss to the worst team ever
first. That was awesome.
Which I'm sure a lot of people were really hanging on every pitch of that one.
The skipper says to win the series, and they kind of won the series, but they kind of didn't because they didn't.
Didn't feel like a win.
Didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
But when we get on to talk about it, it was Bill Belichick says what? Before you can win, you have to not lose.
Right.
The Bengals couldn't get past that part. They did the lose part. They allowed themselves to lose, and they allowed the Patriots to take it from them. And I think they got a lot of issues down there. Not that we're doing Bengals talk, but there was times I saw Joe Burrow doing the flex and the this and the that.
On the sideline,
like, absolutely. If I'm a Bengals fan, what the hell is that, and why is he doing it?
Yeah, I noticed that as well. We'll see what goes on with him, what goes on with Ja'Marr Chase, who had an illness, whatever. I don't have a contract.
And got a penalty for sulking on the field.
Yeah.
Literally, he was sulking on the field, so there were 12 guys on the field.
That was interesting. They don't seem like, and they're notoriously a slow-starting team, but
sure,
they don't seem like they've got their act together at all. And the Patriots really did. They seemed like they had whatever they were trying to install was there. It had been practiced. They were ready for it. And they also had some very nice situational football plays, certainly on that drive where the Bengals almost scored twice and the Patriots defense were able to turn those both into, well, one was an incompletion, the other was a turnover, and then the interception in the end zone with Hunter Henry. I thought all of those plays really pointed to a team that was prepared, a team that was well-coached, prepared, and ready for the unknown, which is what you remember about the great Bill Belichick team.
Timely plays, key plays, gotta-have-it plays, game-changing plays, however you want to describe them. There may be no play bigger than the Hunter Henry play.
Yeah.
Breaking, that's a pass defense. The ball was caught by the Bengals cornerback, and he broke it up. And then if there was a bigger play, it was Hudson, the jackal of a tight end, doing Deion Sanders stuff. And
what was that?
I have no idea. If I were Joe Burrow and I saw that, he said, I didn't have to say anything to him. He knows what he did. Yeah, he knows what he did. He lost the game for you guys, but give the Patriots credit. That when you give them that opportunity, they take it.
Yep.
They don't waste it. And even Jacoby Brissett, who we'll talk to at 3 o'clock, and his coach was kind of making fun of him for it, but guy was running when he needed to and picking up first downs and making plays with his legs. After all we talked about all summer is, like, he can't do that. No, he's a big stiff in the pocket, game manager. No, no. He made plays with his legs when it was given to him.
Yeah, and it was given to him a good amount and not even always given to him. Sometimes the pocket just collapsed and he was out of there, and he read the blitz well. He read the pressure. Things that I'm not necessarily sure Drake May would have instinctively known to do, by the way. And he was out there doing it. So I see calls lining up already. You guys are getting ahead of yourself. Listen, as a famous man once said, we have a show to do today, okay? There is a show today that we have to do. The Patriots just won. There's the biggest upset in 10 years in week one. It was a game no one expected, except for Stiz. No one expected them to win, and we are here to do the show today. And I feel like even if it wasn't just a daily show, if this was a show we did once a week, I would still feel like this is a significant day for the Patriots. It feels significant. It feels like something happened here.
Something did happen.
Yeah.
You laid a foundation. Now, I don't know what it's going to lead to. Like, we're doing the show today after a game one victory on the road. They may get smoked by Seattle. No idea.
That's
down the pike. But I also think there's a benefit to Gerard Mayo, because if they had started the year the way some of us expected, 0-1, 0-2, pressure builds, things go south. Like, there's just a negativity, a black cloud that hovers over Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, Jacoby Brissett. The questions about, you know, other than Wiggy, the questions are going to be quiet for a little bit about Jacoby Brissett and Drake May.
You can't silence Wiggy. Did
no, you can't. And I give him credit. Consistency is key, and he's consistent.
He
and I love that about
him. I heard that. That's why Mayo was trying to shut him down. He kept going. He kept pushing through.
But I give them credit for that. Like, that matters. And I have no, and I give Gerard credit. When he kept saying it's one game, he kind of, like, it was like he called himself stoic yesterday. But then today it was like, got a little ahead. We're going to run the ball, and you got to stop us. So he's getting a little, and then he's like, but it's only one game.
Yep.
Like, he reined himself back in, almost like reeling himself from going too far. But there is absolutely value in this for everybody. Gerard Mayo, Jacoby Brissett, Alex Van Pelt, DeMarcus Covington, Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft.
He named the whole Kraft family in that clip.
And he should.
I don't even know who Danny Kraft was. Whoever, okay.
You don't know Dan Kraft?
I don't know Dan Kraft.
He's also the
Wasn't
greatest
Wasn't familiar
Kraft.
With Dan Kraft.
Tufts jumbo alum like myself.
Okay, all right.
He's what we call the great Kraft.
I haven't met him. I think that's probably why. If I met him, I'd remember. But
he's
a good dude. He sounds like a great guy. I mean, Gerard was speaking glowingly of him.
As he should. But, you know, people were questioning Robert Kraft's decision, correct?
Yes.
Coming off of...
people.
Well, a lot of people were. I wasn't. I'm not one of those. I don't do the people thing if I'm included. Like, when I asked Jacoby Brissett later if they used the outside noise, I'm going to say some of us idiots... said you were going to struggle to win one or two games.
I'm a many people are saying type of person.
Okay. Well, and I will do that if I'm not included in the people, but if I'm included, I'm going to say it. But people were questioning, wait, you picked your coach 5 years ago in Israel? Why? He hadn't coached a game yet. And well, this summer, he hasn't been great leading this team at times this spring and summer. That's been gone the last week. That's the other thing that has been consistent from last, I guess it was last Tuesday on the Greg Hill show? Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was.
I think it was Tuesday because of the holiday.
Yeah. Through this week, I think Gerard Mayo, the media guy, has done a much better job. I think the messaging has been streamlined. It's been more it's not perfect. You know, I know some people didn't love, we're going to run the ball and you got to stop us. Okay, do you like nothing? Because that's Dan Campbell-esque.
I enjoyed that.
And it seemed, I do too.
Yeah.
Have some confidence. Trust your guys. He's been right when he said it was overblown that the offensive line stinks. They didn't lose the game, did they?
No. In fact, I'd say that was the biggest surprise of the game. I think everything about that game was kind of surprising, first of all. I didn't think the defense would be as good as it was. I didn't think Brissett could run like that. I didn't think they'd be as prepared and ready to sort of install what their game plan was and everything. I thought that would all be stuff that the Bengals just blew past them with. I thought it was going to be a blowout yesterday.
And the very first play, the fact that you got a flag on a kickoff where it looked like one guy had never heard of the rules. Wait, are you saying I can't move? Why can't I move? I already moved.
No, can't move.
So that was an ominous start. That was, I think, falling in line with the narratives that people were selling all summer. Like,
absolutely.
Oh, it's going to be a debacle. And that was debacle-esque. But pretty much from there on, the Patriots did what they needed to do slash wanted to do in some form or fashion. And they won the game.
Absolutely. And I think that offensive line, to me, was the biggest surprise. I expected them to be lining up in the backfield, although it wasn't a Hockey League game. I think this is just a Hockey League thing because I was watching Red Zone, and they were not throwing flags like that again. Maybe they all got a call from the commissioner or something like that, like, guys, knock it off. It seemed like it was only one ref doing it, but either way, there were barely any penalties. There was one sack. There was a bunch of times where he got pressured, obviously, and he got away from it, and he did get hit a few times. But in general, the offensive line in the run game, and generally in the passing game, it wasn't perfect again, but it was so much better than I expected. So much better.
Good enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't. We had seen train wreck. And I'm sorry, Gerard, we had seen train wreck on the game field and on the practice field at various times in July and August. That was not a train wreck.
No.
Well, Chukwuma Okorafor might have been a bit of a train wreck, but you got him out of there and you put Vidaria low in
recognized
and you fixed
it
that.
Quickly, absolutely.
Right. Avoid the train wrecks. And they did that, and that group, Scott Peters, who I had some questions about the way that line has been coming together, now you almost look at it and say, I kind of feel good about certainly the center to the right side.
Yes.
And then you get City So back, and you get Vidarian Lowe back. Are we talking ourselves into a competent offensive line? One that went from a debacle to competent pretty quickly?
Yeah, I
now,
think so.
Now, that can blow up again, too. As Coach says, Coach Mayo, one game.
Right.
And we're going to make a lot of... I tweeted out, you know, if you're doing the extrapolate, well, the Patriots are going 17-0. Ramondre Stevenson's rushing the ball 425 times this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Keon White's going to have 42 and a half sacks.
Yes, so long as he passes a drug test, by the way. Did you see that?
He'll pass it.
Keon White got an anonymous random drug test today. I guess it wasn't. It was a random drug test today that he was posting about on his Instagram after a 2.5 sack day. Keon White, by the way, is my MVP of the season. I said that, and he looked like it yesterday.
You picked him for the MVP of the season?
I did.
Was I listening?
You were.
Did I yell at you?
You shook your head and made a face, but you didn't yell at me.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he was my guy. He was my MVP. I think he'll be the MVP of the year.
If he has 42 and a half sacks, he probably will be. He'll probably be the league MVP.
That might be a record, I think, if that happens. So the narratives obviously are shifting. It's 1 week in. Do you look at this team differently? Do you have different expectations now?
I still think there are massive bumps in the road. I think there's massive struggles, but this was better an opening performance than I expected. And Gerard Mayo has kept saying, we're going to be better each week. We're going
right.
to be better in November. And if that's true, and he continues to coach at a way that reaches his players, that they perform when they need to perform, yeah, I think you have to rotate upward. Like, for example, a very simple thing that I've questioned. People are going to say, you hated on him. No, just questioned it. Christian Gonzalez
mm-hmm.
had only played 4 games. Now he's in a Game 5 matchup where he ran around with Jamar Chase, who... I don't know where his head or his body was at, but whatever, he's Jamar Chase, he's in number one and he's out there.
Yep.
Christian Gonzalez more than held his own in that matchup. If Christian Gonzalez does that and builds on that week to week, they'll shut the saws off in the background. if he does that, he is a good number one corner, and I'll check that box off, and that's something that I feel better about this defense as a whole building on.
Yeah,
welding.
I think that, yeah, something's going on there. They're building the next wing of the studio, I guess. But, yeah, I thought that he was a standout performer. Jonathan Jones, who we're going to talk to, had some big hits in the game as well. We're also going to be speaking with Jacoby Brissett at 3 o'clock, the starting QB who, did about as well as I could have expected. I thought that he went out there and managed the game very, very well and made big throws when he needed to and was just generally looked like every bit the cagey veteran quarterback that this team was advertising him as. So there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Coming up at 2:30, we'll give out some game balls. And since we're doing that early on in the show here, let's get to a call. Barry's in New Bedford who wants to be a big turd in the punch bowl.
Oh.
Go ahead, Barry.
Hey, guys, I'm not a turd in the punch bowl, but first off, do they realize that Cincinnati lost to Cleveland last year 24-3? It's kind of like nature, the 4 seasons where they don't play well. I mean, I've never seen a team drop a touchdown pass and then fumble it on the same drive.
That was pretty impressive, Barry, I'll give you that. But how'd the Patriots do last year? Come on.
And how'd the Browns do? The Browns were a playoff team.
That too.
Think about those guys. They did what I knew they were going to do. Shorten the game, make it a rock fight, and keep the score in the 20. But I can tell you, watching their passing game, I've seen high schools with better passing attacks than the Patriots. This is going to be this is what they are going to be all year. Shorten the game, turn it into a field goal rock fight game, they have a chance to win the game. If any team plays them, scores 21 or 24 points, they're not winning the game because they can't throw the football. How many times do they have 6 offensive linemen in the game to protect the quarterback?
I felt like when they had the 6 offensive linemen, it was to run the ball. But thanks for the call, Barry. Appreciate it.
So you're angry that they had a game plan, executed it, and played a game on their terms.
Yeah, I mean,
like, why would you be angry about that?
On the road against the high-powered offense that you held to 10 points. I mean, listen, the offense didn't look amazing or anything. I thought Stevenson was much better than I was expecting him to look against the tough front there. And the passing game was fine. It wasn't great. 120 yards. I mean, that's nothing to write home about.
I'm not sure it was even fine, but it was
winnable.
Did
you look around the NFL? I mean, did you see some of these other games? Like, it wasn't like there was a lot of guys putting on shows yesterday. You didn't really see a whole lot of that.
Anthony Richardson did. That throw.
Okay, that was one nice throw, but in general, I think you looked around.
No, I actually saw a lot of quarterbacks running for touchdowns.
Yeah.
There were a lot of rushing touchdowns by quarterbacks when I watched that little red zone recap where they show you every touchdown. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. That was one of my takeaways from that.
I love that thing. I love that touchdown montage.
Me too. And I feel like I get up to speed very quickly after watching one game and one postgame show.
It does seem that way. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We have open phone lines for you all afternoon here. We are live from Gillette Stadium, and when we come back, we'll have Sunday game balls, offense, defense, maybe even a little wild card as well. But first, here's Tom Carroll tell you what's trending.